Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another thrilling episode of Faulty Logic. Join Marcos, Diane, and I as we dive deep into the heart-pounding world of the Apple TV Plus miniseries, Masters of the Air. Greeting, fellow enthusiasts of the extraordinary. I'm Andrew, your guide through the realms of the remarkable and the extraordinary.
And I'm Marcos, the skeptic in search of truth, uncovering the hidden realities that lie beneath the surface.
And I'm Diana, the mistress of mystery, weaving tales of intrigue and suspense.
This week, we embark on a journey back in time to World War II as we dissect the riveting storytelling of Masters of the Air.
Prepare yourselves for an adventure like no other as we analyze the courage, the sacrifice, and the sheer determination of those who fought in the skies above.
Join us as we unravel the mysteries of history and uncover the truths that lie within the shadow of the past. But first, a message from our sponsor.
Are you tired of the same old routine? Need a break from the daily grind? Why not take a moment to relax and unwind with a smooth, satisfying smoke? Try Lucky Strike Cigarettes, the choice of the discerning gentleman.
Lucky Strike Cigarettes, for that moment of relaxation you deserve.
And now, back to our discussion on Masters of the Air here on Faulty Logic.
And we're back. That's Faulty Logic.
That's Faulty Logic.
You know it, brother.
I'm not really sure what episode this is because we haven't done it in about 10 years, it feels like, but
it is what it is.
We're in the hundreds.
Yeah, we are in the hundreds for sure. Three digits.
This is going to be like episode 120?
Something like
130,000?
Eh, something.
We've something along those lines.
Yeah. We've been doing it for a couple thousand years at this point.
For those like hardcore followers that we have, though, you know, they know what episode we're on. So
yeah, they do.
That's all we care about. As long as you know.
Facts.
Figgity, figgity, facts.
Figgity, 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 figgity facts.
I feel like I fucked up that sponsor.
Nah, you're good.
Nah, hey, we didn't fuck up anything.
You know what you need?
It's good.
Just go get you a Lucky Strike and calm the nerves.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Yeah, Lucky Strike. All right, so yeah, this week we're going to talk about the series Masters of the Air.
Masters of the Air.
It's on Apple TV. It's the same company that's done Band of Brothers and The Pacific. So it's like a spiritual sequel.
Yep.
Even though it takes place at the same time as the other ones. It's a different kind of World War II show. Whereas Band of Brothers followed the Easy Company paratroopers and the... can't remember their squadron, group, battalion, any of that anymore, because it's been a couple weeks since I watched Band of Brothers again. But they're army paratroopers, and then Pacific followed the Marines in the Pacific Theater. This one follows
the Air Force,
the Army Air Forces, the
8th.
The 8th. What, the 8th wing? Yeah.
The 100th.
As they, the 8th wing, the 100th
bomb group. Flying
B-17s. The blue, the bloody 100ths. 100.
As they're well known as.
Yep, because not a lot of them came back.
No, they died. A lot of them died.
So, yeah, you know, kind of breakdown of the show. It follows the bloody 100th as they did all their bomb runs before and either leading up to the invasion of Normandy, and kind of ends with them dropping aid into Holland. So it kind of goes through the whole European theater. It's a harrowing tale.
It is.
These gentlemen who have all long passed at this point, went through a lot. Peace. They, you know, you watch Band of Brothers or The Pacific and you think, how the hell did these people do this?
Yeah.
But it come out okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I watch Band of Brothers, and outside of a few, obviously, episodes, but battles like Bastogne, I don't want to say they had a good chance of coming back, because a lot of them didn't, but they felt like they had a chance of coming home.
Yeah. These guys.
Some of these bombing missions, it was
suicide.
Yeah, it was suicide.
They mentioned a lot in the show, too. These are suicide missions. Like,
I think there was a couple episodes where they talk about, like, they get, you know, replacement pilots and air crews. It's like, hey, look to your right and look to your left. One of you guys or two of you guys ain't coming back.
What's crazy?
Imagine hearing that, like, yeah. Man.
What's crazy to me is, like, the scenes where they're in the airplanes and they're flying. Like, I know I felt it. Is the claustrophobic feeling. Feeling like you're in those aircraft flying and there's nowhere for you to go.
Yeah.
You're just...
Because there isn't anywhere for you to go, unless you're going to fucking bail out. But then,
exactly.
And the worst would be being stuck in that ball turret, man.
Yeah. I felt the worst for them. Yeah.
Like, let's put all these small guys in there. Like, sometimes, like, oh, the whole thing's gone.
So, yeah, we should, I guess, kind of break down the B-17 a little bit. You guys haven't watched the Bloody 100 documentary. So, it kind of talks about, because the show, it had parts where they kind of talk about who the actual air crew. But the Bloody 100th kind of goes into it a little bit more in depth. So obviously you have the pilot, co-pilot. You have the navigator.
Yep.
And I think you have 7 or 8 gunners. Like, you have a tail gunner. You have 2 side gunners. So you might not have 8.
There's the one right behind him.
Yeah. So
the top one.
You have 5, 6, 7, 5 something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And they talk about it specifically in the Bloody 100th is this... This B-17 is aluminum.
Yeah.
So it's not like steel where if you get shot, it's going to dent. It's this thing tear, like, it's like aluminum, obviously not like aluminum foil, but if you have aluminum foil stretched out and you throw a rock at it,
it's
that shit breaks through like it's crazy.
Destruct. Yeah.
But I don't know where I was going with that point, but just to, I guess,
basically
drive
the
home,
way the plane is.
Yeah. To kind of drive home. Like, comparing it to other World War II, I don't want to say other World War II media, but comparing it to Band of Brothers in the Pacific, like, the
threat of death is a little higher because they were flying day missions.
That's another thing. So it's brought up early that the British fly night missions because they want to save their people. But with that, they don't have good accuracy.
Yeah.
The Americans are like, fuck it. We're flying day missions.
We're going to hit these fuckers.
They have at the time it was a classified bomb drop. I don't know, like a sight they used that if the plane was going down, people were shooting that thing to make sure if the Germans couldn't.
Yeah, it was like a little scope, the little bomb sight thing. Like, yeah, make sure you grab it.
And that's another thing to talk about in the Bloody 100th, like how accurate that thing was. Like, if you can hit something within, you know, from 30,000 feet within a 10-meter area.
That's crazy. These guys were basically flying these suicide missions during the day, and they were putting their lives at risk.
Seeing all the anti-aircraft fire.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, like, you're just going into, like, luck. Yeah. It's like, all right, hopefully I'll get hit.
And
you know, the thing that's like hammers home is that Nazis were really bad people.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Pacific fucking Band of Brothers, this shit, like, it hammers home. Like, if you emulate the Nazis, you're not a good person, because the Nazis themselves, not good people. They were fucking monsters.
They were
monsters.
And it's not in this show, because this show, I don't know, compared, maybe the Pacific might have been a little bit different because how heinous the Japanese were, but
I'd have to go back and rewatch.
This show kind of shows it kind of shows the Americans in only a good light.
Yeah.
They didn't really have anything where, like, hey, you know, that's kind of...
The racism wasn't there.
Well, just like the war, not the war crime, I guess war crime kind of stuff. Like there's parts in the Pacific where they're just shooting innocent people. Like not innocent, like, but Japanese who have surrendered, like, fuck them, we're going to kill them. This series kind of skips over some of the stuff that the
gross stuff
that they had done. Like there is, it might not have been the Bloody 100th, but it was another bomber group who they dropped flyers to a German town. Like, we're going to bomb here. Get out.
Yeah.
Turns out everyone, like civilians, there's no like military targets there. So all these German civilians, children, old people, women.
They kind of talk about it a little bit. They go hide in the show.
Like, I don't know, it's like a post office or something.
Yeah.
And the Americans like, well, let's go fucking kill them all.
Fuck it. And now they kind of talk about it in the show because like they were talking about it at the one point where the one guy, I can't remember who it was talking about like, these are civilians. Like, why are we bombing this?
Oh, yeah. That was after Clevin got shot down, and Bucky or whoever his friend was like, fuck everybody.
His friend got shot down, he's probably dead. But you know, they do kind of breeze over it. They don't go into it in detail. Like, it's not like when you watch movies like Platoon,
where they're massacring
innocent civilian. Like, they're not going into detail with it, you know? And that's fine. Like, wartime is wartime. If you've never really been in a war,
so you got to kind of turn yourself into a fucking monster or some shit for a little bit.
You have to.
Sometimes you have to turn your brain off and you have to turn your empathy off. And like, this shit happens.
It was like a goddamn video game watching that. Yeah. Every mission, like, all right, here we go. Back through the same shit. We just got to keep pushing until we hit our target. Hit it. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Because the episode when they were supposed to bomb and then make it to Africa, they're getting just blown out, like, blown out of the sky and fucking Elvis. He, Austin like, oh, his whole crew was like, we got to get out of here. He's like, we have a fucking mission to do.
Yeah.
They get so tunnel vision, I guess.
I mean, I feel like you kind of have to.
You have to, absolutely.
You can't go in there like.
It's not a, like, declaration against what they're doing. I get it. You have to be short-sighted and you have to have that tunnel vision in order to, because the people they're going up against are the worst of the fucking worst. Like, Nazis, come on now.
It's just that
the shit they did to people was horrendous.
I just feel like they, to be able to go up in the air like that, knowing you have to know that you're going to die to be able to do it, like do that with and still get like accomplish the mission.
You have to go up there with a certain amount of clarity.
Like when they had that one mission and what, one of them made it back?
One of the B-17s,
but like, that man.
That was episode four, I think.
Fucking suicide.
And it was Rosie who came back.
So in Band of Brothers, Captain Spears, he was the one of the, obviously one of the officers in the Easy Company, or he took over Easy Company. Yeah. He said something to a couple of the characters and kind of like freaked him out a little bit. It's like, you expect to go home? So along those lines, like, I know I'm going to die. That's how I'm able to do this kind of stuff.
I guess if you gain that clarity, like, okay, there's a chance I might die, and I have to reconcile the fact that I might die in order to survive. Like, I feel like you have to do that. It's a survival instinct.
It is, but I don't even think a might kind of thing. I feel like if I'm going up there, it's like, I'm going to die.
It's like, let me be really negative. There might be a positive.
And then, you know, if something good happens.
Exactly. Cool. Well, it's like, If I think I'm going to die on this mission, then at least let me accomplish my fucking goal.
Yeah.
So like, if I die, but I bombed this, whatever I'm supposed to bomb, that's great.
You know, they kept talking about the 349th with these guys. I'm like, I was with the 349th up at Travis.
Oh, really?
For about a year.
It's
crazy.
Yeah.
The units are still running.
Yeah. That is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So let's get into some of the characters. I guess with the characters, we kind of go with the episodes and, you know, important events that happen to them in these episodes. So obviously, there's, throughout the whole show, there's probably three main characters. There's some other characters that come in later in the series that are important.
Yeah.
But you got Bucky, and Kroz, the three, like, who pretty much in every episode. Well,
Major Gale, Buck Clevin. You got Bucky's Major John Egan.
Mm-hmm. And then whatever Kroz.
Crosby is Lieutenant Harry Crosby.
I think Kroz was the only one that was in every episode. Maybe Egan was in every episode. Because there's a couple episodes where Clevin wasn't there because, you know, you think he.
And I kind of like how they did that because he just, I mean, you hear like, oh, man, those dudes went down or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just, damn, are they going to leave him dead? I mean, I didn't know how they were going to do it. Yet.
Yeah, because it's war. So those things would happen. Like, but, you know, it is what it is. But so those three characters are the characters, you know, mainly through the whole series. Later on, you get Rosie, who comes in, and he is, you know, he's an important character later on.
It's crazy because with Rosie, man, Rosie and Bucky, dude, I'm like, I confuse the fuck out of those two. Like, they have like
the same
different hair, but if they had the beanies on or whatever, they're very similar looking.
They were.
And the mustaches were a little different. But.
And then you had two of the Tuskegee Raiders. Couldn't tell you what their names were because I've only watched this series one time. Yeah. Whereas Band of Brothers, it took me like 10 times before I remembered every single character's name.
So going down the list with the Tuskegee Airmen, there was Lieutenant Joseph Evans Gordon, Captain Irwin B. Lawrence, Lieutenant Lee Buddy Archer, Lieutenant Shelby F. Westbrook. Yeah. Lieutenant Charles M. Bussey, Captain Wendell O. Pruitt, and then Lieutenant Frederick D. Funderburg.
So which were the two that they had at the end of the series that they did the little biography on?
I'm trying to remember who those were.
One of them just died recently, 2022, which is, it's so weird to think that.
Fuck, let me go through the main cast real quick, see if any of these ring a bell, because I know that's a discussion we had, like, who was that?
Yeah, yeah, I mean.
So I remember some of their names.
Yeah, like.
I do not.
So there's, these are the obvious ones. Gale, Clevin, Buck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Johnny Egan, Bucky.
Bucky.
Mm-hmm. Harry Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
Kroz.
You got Lieutenant Curtis Biddick. I don't remember him.
Me neither.
And these are like the main cast. So, so Lieutenant Curtis Biddick. Then there's Colonel Harold Hoglan. Was that their like commander?
I think so.
I think so.
There's Major Marvin Red Bowman. I remember Bowman.
Bowman, because we made fun of that.
Yeah.
What? Who was that guy?
He's the one with the mustache.
Well, that doesn't matter. But
right. Lieutenant Roy Frank Clator. There's Marge Spencer.
That's Buck's wife.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Colonel Neil Chick Harding. Major Robert Rosie Rosenthal.
Yeah, Rosie.
Rosie. Sergeant William Quinn. Lieutenant Herbert Nash. Paulina. Lieutenant Ulrich Hausman. Dr. Houston. Okay, remember that was like the psychiatrist.
Yeah, the one who sent Kroz, like, you know.
There's Sandra Westgate. Colonel Albert Clark. Second Lieutenant Richard D. Macon. Second Lieutenant
Macon
Alexander
was
Jefferson.
One of the Tuskegee Airmen, I remember, because Macon, Georgia. I remember that name. He was, and they called him Macon.
Macon. There's a Second Lieutenant Alexander Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. That was I think that might be the one who died in 2022.
Let me click on him real quick. June 22nd, 2022.
That's crazy.
So there's Lieutenant Robert Daniels, okay, Colonel Benjamin O. Davis Jr., and Lieutenant George Knighthammer.
So that's a lot of characters. Let's kind of stick to the main ones.
No, and that's fine. I just wanted to go down the list to see which ones rung a bell, because I know it was hard to remember, like, who's who. I remember this guy, but then they died, and then they were like important at first.
I'm really good at just kind of like remembering characters and shows, but
it takes me a bit because there's so many.
This one was,
but the Bucks and the Buckies, you know, like
Bucky's
Rosies and Kroz.
Yep,
and that old boy from Eternals.
Which one was the one that crashed? He was pretty like main caster, but then crashed and died.
Yeah,
I don't remember who. I don't remember who he was.
I don't know.
Forget his name, but he was in the Eternals.
He was
Barry Keoghan.
So let's just start with Kraz, because I think he was the first one we actually see. Maybe it might have been one of the Bucks, but...
And then he's the one that's narrating.
Yeah.
Kraz is the one always throwing up, right?
Yeah, so
he's the one that gets the air sickness.
His kind of development throughout the show, like he starts like he's terrible terrible navigator. I think he missed something because he was throwing up.
Yeah, he was.
It was kind of funny because he like squished the bag and the vomit fucking...
No, it was the helmet.
Oh, yeah.
It was the helmet. He threw up in the helmet and he put it on his head.
And then he miscalculated the distance and all that, and he sent him straight into France or some shit.
Yeah. Yep. So he starts off as like
kind of a fuck
this
up.
Fucking guy. He's going to get someone fucking killed. But, you know, throughout the series, as he gets better, realize he's a really good navigator.
He comes through. Yeah.
He gets promoted. He ends up being like the group navigator.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even fly in a lot of these.
And then
like,
he cheats
later on
his
missions.
Poor wife, Joan.
He does.
He cheats on his poor wife, Joan. Poor Joan.
And
see, I remember her name.
He loses like his best friend Bubbles.
Bubbles. Poor Bubbles.
I don't remember who Bubbles
actually
was.
I'm trying to find his fucking name.
Bubbles
was, that dude was like
a navigator.
Bubbles is who he took over for. He Bubbles was the group navigator.
And he took over for him. He had the snow globe.
Bubbles.
Okay.
Bubbles. Bubbles was on one of the planes that was lost. And like when only one came back.
When only one came back. That mission, yeah.
So Kraz, he was the narrator through the series. So you knew he was going to, you knew he was going to live.
Bubbles was a Captain Joseph Payne.
Okay. And they don't mention it in the show, but in the Bloody 100th, you learn that Kraz failed being a pilot. That's why he became a navigator.
Okay.
He spoke about that in his later years, like, yeah, I fucking sucked. And they like, you're going to be a navigator instead.
Like, why would you be a pilot if you have air sickness? But okay, sure.
Well, I can only imagine. I thought about this because I came home from Philadelphia and like it was just pure turbulence the whole way.
Yeah.
Like these guys are flying in janky ass aluminum jets.
Fucking old prop planes like that.
God.
Yeah, those things are not smooth like fucking jet engines.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just think about when we were flying back from Hawaii on our TDY and we got that hard ass landing.
Yeah.
I thought my legs broke.
Ugh. My dad flew in a lot of these old fucking planes, man, like this. And he's like,
yeah, fuck that. Yeah. So, all right. So we got Kraz.
Buzz.
Let's do the Bucks. Bucky and Buck.
Buck and Bucky.
So Elvis.
So that's Clevin, right?
That's Clevin.
Clevin. So he is. I think he's the very first person you see because
him and his, they're at like that bar.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And Buck is with his wife, Marge. Mm-hmm. No, well, his girlfriend, but wife now, Marge. And they're at the bar dancing, doing whatever they do before they go off to war. And Bucky's there. And that's kind of how you get like your intro to them. Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to him landing in Greenland next.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
And as a shitty landing conditions, but he lands anyway. Yeah. Like, okay, this guy's a good pilot.
This guy's legit, yeah.
He kind of exemplifies, is that a word? Exemplify?
Yeah.
Exemplifies like one of the main themes of the show, like sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
And not necessarily sacrifice, but like
I know
courage kind of.
Yeah, like he's in...
Because there is the...
He's calm throughout the... That's what I noticed with him and the person is he's calm
and
throughout the entire thing. Like, he doesn't overreact. He doesn't, like, get dramatic with it. Like, he's just there.
And
you know,
he is
courageous.
Because we spoke about it a little bit ago, like, in one of those missions where they were going... They had to drop bombs on Germany and then go to Africa. Like his whole crew, like people behind them are getting blown out of the sky. I think two or three of their engines are out and the crew's like, they're like, we got to get out of here. He's like, we've got a fucking mission to do.
Yeah. He's sorry, very,
man. Look at this fucking plane.
Yeah.
He's very mission oriented.
He is. He kind of, I think he has that mentality that I think Captain Spears did from Band of Brothers.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Where I'm probably gonna die.
First.
Yeah,
but as long as I get the mission accomplished, my death won't really be in vain.
It's mission first, everything after, and it works out for him.
It does. Well, you don't think it. You don't think it works out for them. Yeah, so they make it to the Africa in the episode. They're there. They get picked up. And then another, I think it might be the next episode, two episodes later, he gets shot out of the sky and you don't know.
And you don't know what happened to him.
Like, cause
and you don't know for a couple episodes.
Was that the episode where the only one jet came back? Yep. And they're like, well, did you see?
No, that was the one before.
Yeah, because the one where the only one jet came back, that's where that's when Bucky went down. Yeah. So yeah, he comes back and, well, Clevin gets shot down. You think, oh, he's dead, because they don't show anything. Yeah. Obviously, he survives. He's in POW camp.
Which is just like, fuck.
When they're going in that episode, when they're going through like the lists of like, all right, pretty much the debrief.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, fucking flight so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. Done.
You know? Oh, when they're like asking for explanations on what happened.
Yeah.
And they're asking for like the times of
shit is.
He's like, I don't know.
Sad.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I saw smoke.
I don't know. Going down. I don't know. I didn't.
Oh yeah, when the only one comes back, he's like, I saw. Yeah. And that to me is like, it's so tough. Oh. Like, you're a navigator, so you're trying to navigate. You probably have to take over for a gun.
Yeah.
And they're like, so what, you didn't fucking take times when fucking Jet 4 went down? Yeah. Like, no, oh, I'm sorry.
Because I'm trying to live, dude. Like, yeah, what the fuck? Yeah, that shit sucked. Because it's like, he wanted to have the answers. He couldn't have the answers because everybody around him, all his friends and shit are getting shot down.
That's why didn't Cross come in one of those?
Like, he came in clutch.
Yeah.
He came in clutch with like one of the, like he fucked up. It was the episode before
when he fucked up with the corners and shit, like
in Eternals died. It was that episode before that he fucking got sick, but then he came in clutch and he was like, okay, no, we have to do this and this and this, and they landed safely, and so did Eternals dude. He landed safely in Scotland.
Yeah.
And he fucking holed up. He holed up at that like Scottish family's farm or whatever. And he was like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I think he was like from Boston or something, so he had the accent, but you know, he's over there drinking with the Scottish family and they're feeding him and shit, and like they're all good, everybody's at the bar and all that shit. Like, yeah, Cross came in clutch on that one. Cross, but
he did have some good development a parent fuck up to
marriage fuck up.
Initially, it was like, God, this
still married her he was married for a long time.
It's like, but this motherfucker. Like,
I wonder how his wife felt knowing. I get it to an extent, like, all right, this dude's at war. He thinks he's going to fucking die. Like, I'm not going to hold it against him because, like, you think you're going to die. Like, and this is where, like, the lines of that shit get blurred is, all right, this dude's in a war. Do I hold it against him for living through this war and also having an affair? You can't, because then you seem like the piece of shit.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not like your business either, because that's something between him and like his significant other. That's like,
yeah.
They work out on that.
Yeah, but you know, it's still like probably hurtful.
But
at the same time,
he still
time,
came
you
back
to,
alive at least. So
you have to think about the external factors of it. It's like,
shit, I lived.
Dude probably thought he was going to fucking die.
Yeah. But he came back. Yeah, those 30-day leave, and
he got her pregnant, knocked her up, you know.
So then we went through Cross, we did Clevin, Egan.
He seemed like the hothead.
Fucking like frat bro
kind of. He was kind of a chode.
Major John Bucky Egan.
But I feel like
he was like the
tempered by Clevin. Yeah. Like with Clevin was there as his anchor.
They
pissed
off each other.
Yeah.
Like without Clevin there, you'd probably have been a fucking wild man. But with Clevin there, he was, you know, was tethered to, I don't want to say reality, but he was more grounded.
Grounded. Yeah. Yeah.
He, you know, he did missions with a Clevin.
He did have a weird mustache.
He did. And he was weird looking in real life.
It was wispy.
But he's obviously one of the higher ranking pilots with Bucky or with Clevin. Clevin goes down.
Pilot too.
He was a really good pilot. But I feel like his growth throughout the show was tied to
But
if Clevin was there with him, yeah. Like, because he seemed like without Clevin, he's like, I feel like he was a hothead.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with Clevin getting shot down, he's like, I'm on this fucking mission, even though he was like told you're grounded for a while. You need to take some time.
Well, he's the reason like Clevin's shit didn't get fucking thrown out either. His like trunk.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. Yep. You know what I mean? He's like, no, he's coming back. Yeah. He's coming back.
And so Egan was shot down on the flight where only one jet came back.
Yeah. He was shot down. He was taken as a POW after that.
As a POW, that's when he reunited with Clevin.
Which was.
And then you see those fucking. I like how. Well, like, it goes into those fucking. Oh, they're POWs. They go to the camps.
And then they shoot the one guy while they're there in the camps. They don't. And see what I don't want to say I don't like it, but one thing that threw me off was, sorry, what happened?
Well, just time wise.
Oh.
I'm trying to keep it. We needed like a clock to keep it to the.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. But no, I mean like the fact that none of them ever really saw what happened at the camps outside of their own.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming
the way that like in Band of Brothers did, you know, like I get it, like stick to the real life stuff.
And well, yeah, they were just in a POW, not a fucking concentration.
Yeah.
Camp. Yeah. Because, if, you know, I think Geneva conventions were a thing back then. I think they were. Might have been.
I think so, yeah.
So they still had like, it was still.
They couldn't.
War. It wasn't like fucking, you know, the Middle East where they're going to get your head cut off. It's like, we're keeping you people here because
we have to keep you alive.
Bargaining kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They start seeing it later when it gets to the.
The Russians.
Yeah. And he gets to the one camp.
So which kind of leads to the final main character, Rosie.
Going towards the end.
Yeah. So he shows up a little bit later than the rest of them. And this is, I think I was going to say something earlier, but I want to talk about it here. Is like, this motherfucker. Their thing is, if you do 25 missions, you get to go home.
Yep.
He did his 25 and he's like, how can I leave with these guys still here?
Yeah.
And I'm like, in my mind, you know, these days thinking like, fuck y'all. Yeah. Fuck y'all. I'm going home.
Peace, bro.
Cause he goes on
more
that missions.
Yeah. You're that meme of that kid that just disappears.
Yeah.
The peace sign.
Cause he keeps going on these missions. Cause he was he was the only one that came back, and when they all
down, he was one of the ones that he was the only one that came back.
Yeah. So, well, and speaking of that, how they all kept dying because you know they're the bloody hundredth.
Yeah.
There's a part where it was almost like a mutiny, like with the kind of the newer guys. Like, I'm not going back up there.
Yeah.
Because they changed it from 25 to 30 missions.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was even before then. Like, just when everyone kept like. They all kept dying. They're like, they're just sending us up there to fucking die. I'm not going up there. And then later on, they changed it from 25 to 28. If you had already started, if you were like 10, you had to go to 28.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be brand new, you had to go to 30 or something like that. So,
which is bullshit.
That shit almost seems like, it seems like back in the day, you know, there was a lot of patriotic people and all that, like, okay, cool, I'll fight for my country. But slowly throughout the wars, it's like, no, this, we're just being used.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I feel like wars back then, you know, there was a purpose and there was an enemy.
You did have like a sense of patriotism.
But I think people like as like members, service members, all that start noticing like, bro,
it got to like Vietnam. Like, why am I over here? Like, what? Just because some rich people don't like the fact that this country has another form of fucking government than us?
And as a disclosure, if anybody doesn't know that's listening to this, we're all in the military. We've all been in the military.
Not me.
For over 15
seven decades.
Years. You know,
I got
like
kicked out for.
I said years. I meant
salvia.
Years. You know, so like. We do have some insight into this where we feel a certain way about being cannon fodder for the higher ups.
But then, but also, World War II had Pearl Harbor. Like, we were attacked. So that's why people.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, I mean, it's kind of the same thing happened post 9/11. There was probably a really good increase in recruitment. Yeah. Like, I want to go.
Yeah, because 9/11, hey, we were attacked.
Yeah, like, absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, which is like why, like, I want to get into the Tuskegee Airmen and the Red Tails and everything like that, because the people that were in those organizations, they weren't valued by America.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like, and they still put their lives in danger. They put themselves at risk for the sanctity of this country. And they came back not appreciated at all.
Should have died over there, colored boy.
It's crazy to me, because there was this sense of patriotism back then that we don't have so much anymore, but I think it's because the covers are being pulled off.
Yeah, it's, I'm going to go, bullshit. Let's go kill a bunch of young people for some old people. Yeah.
For some old people, some old rich people.
Yeah.
So real quick, going back, his name was Curtis Biddick was the one who crashed.
Oh, that's, yeah. So
Curtis.
That was he was a main character in the first couple episodes.
Yeah, I thought he was going to live.
And his, like,
I thought he was going to
live. When he went, I didn't even want to dig into, like, the fucking history or anything. Yeah. I'm like, no, I want to be surprised. Let's see. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, and so.
When he did the oh God thing and he died. I had a visceral reaction to that.
He looked like a Curtis.
He did look like a Curtis.
So they were shot out of the sky, essentially. I think the rest of his crew got out, but his co-pilot was shot and was still kind of like...
And he was staying with him.
Because he really thought he was going to land.
Yeah.
But then, that oh God, and then you see the outside shot and like the plane explode.
Yeah, it was... I had a visceral reaction to that because it was so shocking. Like... The fact that this person, it reminded me of like Game of Thrones, where like Ned Stark dies, you know, and you're like, no, this is a main character. Oh, God. No, he's not.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, shit. He's gone.
He's dead. Well, so this show was like filmed before. I mean, it started being filmed like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So all these people weren't as popular as they are now. So
he hadn't been in the Eternals yet.
No, he definitely had not. Like that.
Or Salt. First,
oh, Jesus. Yeah.
with the fucking bathwater fucking scene. That's the only thing I know from that movie.
Yeah, I love shows like this. Man.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Me too. It's such a good show.
Shit was back in the day. Like,
I mean, we're all. I think it's safe to say we're all fans of like war movies, old war movies. Yeah. Like we all love like We Were Soldiers and Platoon and.
Those
Saving ones. Private Ryan and obviously Band of Brothers. We already did our whole podcast series on that. The Pacific, you know, I've always been a fan of like Braveheart and fucking Patriot and all that shit. Like, and I don't know if that's our military background speaking or if it's just us enjoying this content, but
I think it's more of a history thing.
It is a history thing. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it speaks to where our country's at and what our country went through and everything like that. And yeah, obviously a lot of it's whitewashed and we can understand that and we can recognize that. But it's just so interesting and engrossing. And there's just something about it that like speaks to us and speaks to people that enjoy this content. Like there's just, I don't know.
I think another thing is these people were real.
These people are real.
In a handful of years,
absolutely,
we're going to look back at this stuff and we're going to look at where we're at currently and be like, there's not a single person left from World War II alive right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at these things as more of a historical document than we are as a form of entertainment.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's important or not, but it kind of makes you, the scale of history at that point is kind of, you know. It's weird to think about.
You just, I don't know, you think about these atrocities that happen, right? Like slavery, the whole thing with that. And then the whole thing with like the Holocaust, like the atrocities that happened there. Like it's a humanity issue. You know what I mean? Like
humans are fucked up.
Humans are fucked up.
Yeah.
Humans are fucked
Sometimes
up.
It's
and
like,
the fact that
God.
We can get brainwashed into the fact that we're going to look.
Maybe we need a new version of us.
That we're going to look away.
That's why I need apocalypse. I've been saying it for years.
Yeah, I know.
Give me an apocalypse and we'll fucking...
Sometimes it seems like we just don't learn.
I love...
It's greed.
I don't know if it's like love is the word, but I do... I don't know. Get engrossed,
had a love.
I guess.
had a love.
It's a contact about World War II. And I know it's like a subject matter that's intriguing to a lot of people. Like, how did we end up here? How did that country end up in a place where we're all going to look away as all these people?
Oh, that's just a geopolitical thing. Yeah. That's fucking decades that led up to it.
It's just,
decades.
It's just fucking ridiculous to me because, you know, you look up the statistics of how many people died in the Holocaust, and it's like, it wasn't just, obviously, it wasn't just Jewish people. It was Romani people, and, to be politically correct. And, you know, like with Hitler being fucking pissed off about a black man winning during the Olympics.
There's a movie called Race on Netflix about Jesse Owens. It's really pretty good. It's pretty
really
good.
I gotta watch that. But you know, just these things, these atrocities that humans commit. And it's like, how did we get here? How did they get there? You know what I mean?
It's just a weird series of events that led to
like
one thing after the next.
Yeah, it just builds and builds.
You're okay with these things happening.
I don't know.
And you want to say it's not going to be me. I would never do that. But really?
I mean, that's human nature. Jim Jones kind of bullshit. Like, yeah. I'm never going to drink Kool-Aid. Oh, fuck. He's real good. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid because kind of stuff.
It's like smart that like we are humans. Like, we're also really easily manipulated. You know?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, that's
a manipulation tactic.
So overall, like, what y'all think, man?
I love the show.
I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. I am going to go back and watch it a few times.
It made me claustrophobic. There were times where I had a physical reaction.
Why, every time they went through a mission, the planes. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I got stressed.
Like, some of those, like, bombing runs, like, it is like
it's stressful.
You're like heart's fucking beating faster. Yeah. Like, fucking,
I'd be in the chair, like, clutching. Like, yeah.
They did a good job of making it feel like you're there with them.
And then some of the you know, the nasty, like, not dogfights, but when they're getting blown out the air, like, there's some slow motion shit where there was one clip where a dude.
Yeah,
a body's
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And he gets ripped in half by the fucking
leg. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. And I remember that. Just, I think they did a really good job with the feeling of claustrophobia and the feeling of hopelessness during some of those missions where, like I said, I had a physical reaction to a lot of those where I'd plant myself in the fucking seat, like, nope, I don't like it. I don't like it. Like, I'm trying to get away from that shit, you know? Like,
That's the sacrifice these people had to go.
Bothered me.
Yeah.
But I want to compare it to Band of Brothers and Pacific.
But you can't. Oh, why? It's a completely different show.
I mean, I still can. I just can't because I haven't watched it enough. Like,
yeah.
I don't.
And we talked about that before. Yeah. Like,
there's so many intricacies in other shows that I had to watch. Like, Band of Brothers, I've watched literally 17,000 times.
Band of Brothers is like top tier. Yeah. Band of Brothers is top tier because that show made me cry like a baby. I wept during that ninth episode, especially. That shit made me,
it's a great show, but it's definitely one I had to watch multiple times to like really,
like, the first time you watch,
oh, I missed that shit.
Who are these characters kind of thing. Like, yeah,
you have
to watch,
you have to get to know these characters and it's hard to do that in such a consolidated
I mean, it has to be like,
whereas
I'd have,
like,
to watch like two or three more times to be able to fully, like, grasp everything that happened.
Band of Brothers, you kind of get to know them the first time you watch them.
But there's so many characters. Like, they'll be like, hey, Malarkey. Like, who the fuck is Malarkey? Or,
it's that fucking
Irish. It's Joey. Who's Joey Toy?
Yeah.
But so, like, but
even still watching like Band of Brothers the first time, that ninth episode still got me because it's just like it's so fucked up and it's so horrific to see that shit happening that you don't care who the characters are. That those are human beings and that's happening to them. Like,
you know, out of all these, like, not the shows, but the people that went through these wars and shit, like, that are portrayed in these shows,
my,
like,
respects to them.
The ones that lived, like, fuck, man. Yeah. For like being able to live with some of that shit, like,
and going on to live like productive lives.
Kind of like in Masters of the Earth, like one of the second to last episode. No, not that one. Like when they escaped, right? It was the three that escaped.
Oh, and they get stabbed.
And the one dude gets stabbed by a kid.
And then they're just like, we got to go.
Yeah. But you know, like later in life, how do you think? Like, fuck, that motherfucker could have made it. What if I stayed awake?
What if I had?
What if I fucking, we took watch, we were there sleeping and just.
You're going through so much survivor's guilt that it's like,
well, you always, shit. You always hear stories about people who's like older folks whose parents were in World War II. And they're like, as their parents died, they're like, you know, they never told me about their experience. Like they
my grandpa never told
me. Fucking spoke about it.
My grandpa never spoke about his time in World War II either. And yeah, I get that. Like my grandpa would never talk about it.
It's just never such a weird, like, and a lot of these people would come back and go back to their normal lives and they would just, like, it never fucking happened.
Just go. Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, my grandpa being in World War II, he never talked about it. He never talked about his experiences over there. I wish he would have.
That's probably, like, a conversation, like, maybe if somebody I served with over there.
I wish.
Maybe I'll have a conversation with them.
But I feel like they didn't because, as, you know, obviously it's there, but they probably try to block it away. So talking to someone,
you don't want to bring it up.
Yeah, bring back all these like bad memories for them,
all the trauma and shit. Like I get that. I do wish my grandpa would have talked to me about it. Like
probably was like, I don't want to.
I talk about this shit.
No, he didn't want to talk about it. And he,
I mean,
anytime we would ask, he would be like, I'm not talking about it.
It's also a different generation. Like these days, people would be like, I'm going to tell you about my story and it fucking
Let me show you my TikTok, okay? Yeah. And why what I did was so brave.
I'm like, what the shit what they did was like they rolled their ankle.
Self-centered
like,
bullshit.
These motherfuckers act like their trauma is equal.
Yeah.
I was able to survive because I did something that most people wouldn't.
Yeah. Like, well, these guys, like World War II, like I watched all my friends I went through basic training with fucking
they
get
died.
Blown up.
They died in horrific.
But before we wrap up, like I really like how they did a focus on the maintainers here and there.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but like when the dude had the engine problem.
And
it was Buck. And he's taxing. He's like, yeah, I can get it fixed. He's up there fucking adjusting the points on the fucking They're like, all right, boom, and then he just rolls out. There you go, try it now.
Yeah, that shit. Like,
that you shit never fly now, dude.
No, hell no.
You never see the maintainers.
I'll be in the landing gear, man. Just taxi out. I'll roll out. I won't get ran over, dude.
That shit, like.
You never see the maintainers in these shows.
The fucking.
The fact
the
that.
The safest fucking job, probably, in World War II. Like, I'm a.
If anybody died, it would have been because of something stupid like that. Yeah. Like, yeah, he got ran over.
Well, he could have been a Navy maintainer on, like, a ship. Like, no, you're going to get fucking destroyed by kamikaze. Like, I'm going to be in Army Air Forces and just chilling. Like, I want to know what their war was like.
Yeah, I'd love to see a show about that.
It's like, all right.
I'd love to see a fucking World War II show. Like, or not a World War II show, but a fucking Korean War show. You know what I mean? Like, because you don't hear about that one. You don't see anything about that. Really, like, there's a couple things here and there, but it's nothing like.
I just think
I'm sure, like, I'm sure
World
they're
World II or Vietnam or anything like that. But yeah, like fucking, you rarely ever see maintainers in these shows, and it's like they were a big part of this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, they launched their jets
without
the fucking
them,
pub and have drinks and
without you know, them, they planes ain't flying and they ain't staying airborne.
Especially the ones that come back like destroyed.
It's like, fuck,
how the fuck
was that me? I should check this.
Like, all these engines are fucked up. These wings are fucking destroyed. Like
all the time. Oh yeah, fuck that.
Supply's never going to be able to get me that wing.
You'd be like, all right, this was just full of fucking bullet holes. Fuck, good.
They just got fucking tinfoil from the fucking kitchen. They're
speed
fucking
tape. Cover
no,
it up.
All in all, though, this show was great. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I really
was,
did.
I
enjoyed the fuck out of it. I thought it was good.
I'd have to like watch a couple more times before I can accurately.
I won't rate it now. I will say that I like it a lot.
I enjoyed it.
But yeah, I have to watch it a few times. It's definitely one of those shows you got to watch a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Cool, man. We're sitting at 50, dude.
Yeah. Wrap it up. We're done.
Let's fucking.
Let's go with that Lulu fucking.
Yeah, this is Lulu from 1940s during World War. This is a top five song in the day Pearl Harbor was attacked. This is what a fucking FDR was dancing to in his wheelchair.
Wearing his women's underwear.
Yeah.
Fucking doing tricks.
Fucking doing
he's
ollies
fucking
and
doing
shit
ollies.
In his wheelchair. He was like, I'm just fucking shredding, bro.
Shredding, dude. He's all of a sudden Tony Hawk.
So this was podcast. It should be podcast 121.
121?
Yeah. We'll go with that.
All right, we're closing out.
I'm closing my tab out, so
bartender, you know what to do. We'll
check
Just give me the next one.
And make sure if y'all are stressed, we'll get you a Lucky Strike
cigarette. Get you a Lucky Strike.
The smooth.
It'll calm you down. It'll make you feel right.
Barely filtered. Straight to the lung.
That's filter
Lucky
is
strike.
Fucking iridium. Guaranteed to make you run faster, jump higher, grow an extra arm, and start melting in the shower.
It's got radiation in it.
Well, thanks for joining us. Until next time.
Okay, bye.
Podcast 10-something.
Bye-bye.
Probably 22.
Okay, bye.